Iowa is not known for its wild places. Only one state in the nation has a smaller percentage of public land than we do. Today, we'll talk about the wildness that remains. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we'll find out about the work being done by three different conservation organizations in Iowa to preserve our wild places and to create new ones. I'll talk with Mark Ackelson, president of the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, Jan Glendenning, state director of the Nature Conservancy, and Bruce Ayersman, wildlife diversity biologist with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Only one state in the union has less public land than Iowa does. But that doesn't mean that Iowa doesn't have beautiful natural areas that are worth visiting and worth protecting. This hour, we'll find out about the work being done by three different conservation organizations in Iowa to preserve our wild places and to create new ones. I'll talk with Jan Glendenning, state director of the Nature Conservancy, Bruce Ayersman, wildlife diversity biologist with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. But first this hour, with me is Mark Ackelson. He's president of the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation. Hello, Mark.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
It's good to be with you again, Charity.
And let's talk a little bit about your organization before we dig into some of the projects that you're working on right now. I know you are one of the original staff members of the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, dating back to 1980. You've been president for many years now. Can you tell people who might not be familiar with your organization, what is your mission in Iowa?
Our mission, Charity, is to protect and restore Iowa's land, water, and wildlife. And we do that by not only protecting but restoring those special places that we've lost over time. So we've been around since 1979, and we work statewide with our partners, including the Department of Natural Resources, county conservation boards, other private organizations to protect these special places.
Well, and you mentioned the Department of Natural Resources, and I think when people think about wild places in Iowa and parkland, they think about the DNR. What exactly is your relationship with the DNR?
Oh, we've got a good relationship. We're good partners. Before I came to Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, I actually worked for what's now the Department of Natural Resources. So we know them well, and we know what needs to be done, but you know, our other partners are really important to this, whether they're the sportsmen's organizations or the landowners themselves. There are a lot of people in Iowa who care about Iowa's land and water and wildlife.
And what was the gap that the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation was created to fill?
There is, especially state budgets, but certainly any government budgets, they're on a long cycle. Now we're looking at the state having two-year budgets. When property and landowners want to see their property protected, and for example, if they want to sell it or maybe put a conservation easement on, we can talk about those kind of things more later. But they don't. It's difficult to bridge that that gap in time and also financially. So our role is to step in, get the work done that needs to be done, work. In some cases, we continue to own land, others that we will eventually transfer to a public agency. So we've done about 1,000 projects now, close to 140,000 acres in almost every county of the state.
And I think that your highest profile work, at least in recent years, has been on the trail system in Iowa.
It is. And sometimes people say, well, what's a conservation organization doing with trails? There's a couple reasons. One is it helps get people outdoors, healthy exercise. It also connects communities, so it connects people to nature. It connects communities to each other. And it's also great wildlife habitat and education opportunities.
Is there a size of land that is too small for the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation to consider getting involved in, if it's a 2 acres or something like that? Is that something that would be below your notice?
Size really isn't the determinant. It's where it lies in relationship to other things. So we've placed a lot of emphasis, because we have so few natural lands, we've really placed an emphasis on building larger complexes of protected land. And that might be both public ownership and private ownership that's protected, or maybe our ownership or nature conservancies as well. So sometimes a 2-acre piece can be absolutely as critical as one. But if you look at our projects over time, they've averaged a little over 100 acres, which is kind of reflective of how fragmented the landscape is out there that we're working in.
Well, let's talk about some of the projects that you're working on now and that you have worked on over the years. And let's start in Clay County with the Little Sioux Complex. Tell me about that area.
Well, the Little Sioux River Valley is an incredible place, and Nature Conservancy have done some good work there, the County Conservation Board, Department of Natural Resources, the sportsmen's groups locally. We've been working in that region for a couple reasons. One is there are some incredible good prairie remnants in there. We got to remember that Iowa's lost virtually 99.99% of our native vegetation, which was primarily prairie. So these special places that have good remnants that we can build, again, build larger complexes out of. So we can protect not only the remnants, but then use seed harvested there to restore other prairies nearby. And also this helps improve water quality and provides great recreation opportunities for citizens and visitors.
And you recently opened a new addition to this complex.
We did. We're actually working on several in there. And it's just like a giant puzzle. If you were to look at a puzzle when it's together, and you look at all the pieces, we're trying to put all those pieces back together. So we're pretty excited. This is a family that we've worked with before, actually on property in other parts of the state. They wanted to see the property protected. It was in an estate. It needed to be settled quickly. We were able to step in and help acquire that, and now we'll work with public agencies and our private donors to help secure that property.
And this is it's a 100-acre addition located north of Gillett Grove, so that's close to Spencer. We're talking about the Great Lakes of Iowa area. In a place like that where there are people who go there to be in nature, I mean, obviously Lake Okoboji is not all about the natural areas, but it is a lot about the natural areas up there. In an area like that, is it difficult to operate because there may be more competition for natural land?
I think our competition is largely from other land uses, whether that's development or expanding agriculture. So some of these fragile lands, we're seeing some loss now with the increase in cultivation. In some of those areas, we're seeing kind of rural subdivisions pop up, those kind of things. So those are our challenges. But coming back around, this property only exists there in its current form because a family took care of it. So our job is to actually help perpetuate that good conservation that they've done and make sure that it's improved upon and made available to the public.
I want to talk a little bit about your relationship with families, with private landowners. I know that, of course, there are many people who love their land very much. They have either worked to preserve what was there over their lifetimes or even done work to restore a prairie or a woodland. When someone is looking at the future and thinking, you know, I'm not always going to be here to protect this land, what kind of protection can you offer them?
Well, there's a lot of tools available. In fact, I would refer your listeners to our website, which is just inhf.org. And there is actually a pull-down tab there, information for landowners, that describes what we call the landowner's options. So it runs from, sale to donation to conservation easements to some forms of management help, all of those things. So we try to tailor the conservation tool, to not only the land but the landowner's needs. And again, that's the advantage of the private sector. We're very flexible. But this really is about people. We talk about conservation, we talk about land, we talk about water, and we talk about wildlife, but this is really about people, people who care about Iowa either by helping organizations like ours or landowners who really care and are trying to look out for their property. So we've had some wonderful recent contributions of property outright. We've had some great cases where donors have come forward with substantial dollars to help us acquire properties. We are also dealing a lot with conservation easements, and that's a wonderful tool because the property can stay in private ownership, but yet it will be permanently restricted maybe from development or other abusive land uses. And we hold about 110 conservation easements right now on about 15,000 acres. So that's a good tool to help us build these complexes, which means it doesn't all have to be public land. It can be privately protected land as well.
You have a new project that you're working on, and this was exciting to me because I used to go to camp at Camp Ingiwanas up in Bremer County. But the Boy Scouts sold you 140 acres of their camp?
Yes. So sadly, we're seeing camps, whether they're scout camps or church camps or Y camps, all around the country, being sold. You know, their use pattern is changing. Some of the facilities at those camps are not up to standard anymore. Maturity, you know, you and I went to camp, and those camps are in great places. They're on usually along a river. They're heavily wooded. They may have a prairie with them. They've been well cared for. And so when in this case, the scouts decided that they needed to consolidate their scouting operation into less camps, we were given the opportunity. We worked with them to and the County Conservation Board to negotiate this purchase, and we're really pleased to be able to do it. It's a little complex working in a very rural county and trying to find the funding necessary, but we're really optimistic. We have a lot of donors come forward already with this, and we'll have other partners as well.
And what is the ultimate goal with this land?
It'll be a county park. Some of the facilities will actually be made available back to the scouts. So in some way, they're going to have the best of both worlds. They'll be able to get some dollars out of it. And then in addition, they'll have continued public use. But this will be a great public use area in addition to the county conservation system.
And it's a really beautiful place.
It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
Well, I hope you'll stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to also welcome Jan Glendenning, State Director of the Nature Conservancy, into this conversation as well. With me right now is Mark Ackleson. He is president of the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation. This hour, we're talking about conservation groups in Iowa that are working to preserve Iowa's natural places, working to, in some cases, create natural wild places for Iowans. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today, I'm talking with representatives from different conservation groups in Iowa. They're working to preserve Iowa's natural places, working to create an opportunity for the public to experience nature in Iowa. You're welcome to join our conversation as well at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can join us with your questions. You can join us with the concerns you have about natural areas in Iowa or even your favorite natural area in Iowa. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Mark Ackleson is with me. He is president of the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation. And joining the conversation now is Jan Glendenning. She's state director of the Nature Conservancy. Hi, Jan.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And just as we did with the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, let's talk a little bit about the mission of the Nature Conservancy in Iowa, because the Nature Conservancy is a global organization.
We are. You know, our mission is to conserve the lands and waters upon which all life depends. And we work in all 50 states and more than 30 countries around the world using science to determine where we work and with whom we partner. And in Iowa, we've been working here providing science-based solutions to conserving our natural resources for nearly 50 years.
And what is your role in Iowa? What do you do?
That's a very good question. So, you know, we are private landowners, so we own and manage our own land, but and own conservation lands that the general public can use and enjoy as well. But we also work with a lot of private landowners. Because Iowa is such a private land state, there's a lot of things that we can do with private landowners on how they own and manage their land that are more sustainable and good uses for our lands and waters. And then we work with partners like the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, the Iowa DNR, and many other sportsmen's groups and so forth on conserving natural lands, both the protection and the management of those lands.
Can you contrast for us what you do as opposed to what the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation does?
Well, that's a good question. And Mark, you can join here too. We do some very similar things, but we own and tend to manage larger tracts of land. So in the Lusk Hills, for example, we own Broken Kettle Grasslands, which is Iowa's largest native prairie. And it's a 10,000-acre complex that the Nature Conservancy owns, about 3,300 acres of land. We have protected with conservation easements about 3,300 acres of land. And we have also worked with partners like the Plymouth County Conservation Board and the Iowa DNR, who've also protected land in that area. And one of the things that we have really focused on there has been the management of the prairie itself. And we've been able to reintroduce bison there in 2008, which was a very exciting step for us.
How large is your herd?
The herd, we started with 28 animals, and we are now at 85 animals. So it is growing every year. And Broken Kettle can support up to 250 animals over the winter and about 400 animals in the summer.
And what do you think is the value of reintroducing bison onto that land?
That's a great question, too. So bison, first of all, for Iowa to have a natural land and a natural land complex that's large enough to support bison is amazing. Mark mentioned in the last segment, we've lost 99% of the prairie in Iowa. And so it's a piece of our natural history and our natural heritage that Iowans can really enjoy. I know we have a Bison Day every summer where we allow the general public to come. It's a community-wide event, and we've had people from Colorado and Arizona come to the annual event where they can come and they can see bison in the Lusk Hills the way Lewis and Clark might have seen them 200 years ago.
And what do you think it does for the land to have these creatures that were native inhabitants mm-hmm. of the land on it?
So grazing and fire are natural processes that occur on the land, and it's actually good for the prairie. It helps keep the native vegetation down, and it's just part of that natural ecological process that occurs out on the land. Actually, the prairie thrives, and there's a more diversity of species out there when there's bison.
You mentioned that you focus more on larger tracts of land, although I know of, for example, one Nature Conservancy plot of land mm-hmm. that's very small, and that's the prairie behind the high school in Ames, Iowa, which yep. is not a lot of acreage. It's a very small place, although it's a beautiful place. What is it about a small piece of land like that that makes it something that the Nature Conservancy would want to get involved in?
Yeah, well, Ames High Prairie is a good example. So our work has evolved over time, and it's a great example of a prairie in town where people can come and see our work and see what the Iowa landscape used to look like and really to interact with nature. How our work has evolved over time, we were founded in the 1950s in New York, where a group of citizens came together to protect a tract of land privately. The Iowa's chapter was founded in 1962, 1963, where a group of Iowans, all volunteer-driven, came together to protect a tract of land privately. And so as our work has evolved over time, we have realized that we have limited time and resources to invest in conservation. So it's better to focus those on larger tracts of land and really building those wild complexes. Then we can ensure those species manage and last in perpetuity.
All right. And this is I want to get to the phones. Sharon is mm-hmm. on the line at 866-780-9100. We'll talk more about some of the specific work being done by the Nature Conservancy in a moment. But I think Sharon has a question for both of you. Hi, Sharon.
Good morning. I was a supporter of the bond referendum in Polk County. for conservation activities. And I was wondering what the people that are on the program today would think as far as priorities for this bond referendum. Personally, I was disappointed in the first go-around of what was selected to be done in conservation-wise, because we have a very limited supply of land, and the developers are wanting, naturally, to get in on this. And I'm thinking, why are we building an education center and bike trails? It seemed like there was a lot of construction-type activities selected for this first go-around instead of wildlife habitat and protecting more land for water, clean water, this kind of initiatives. What are your opinions?
Sharon, thanks a lot for your call. And just before I let you guys answer, for people who are not in Polk County, they may not know about this. This is the Polk County Water and Land Legacy Bond, which passed this fall with a 72% of the vote. And it's supposed to allow county supervisors to bond for funds over the next 20 years for protecting water quality, for protecting drinking water resources, wildlife habitat, natural areas, protecting land to help prevent flooding, and, as she just mentioned, improving parks and trails. So, Mark, you want to respond to that first?
Sure, be glad to. And thanks for the question, Sharon. So I think there is some confusion. So some of the first projects that were rolled out, or at least are getting the public attention, there was actually a number of water quality projects in there, too. Are centered around Jester Park and the improvements that are being made there. There are also projects underway at Easter Lake, improving that lake for the citizens and its water quality. There's also projects at Chautauqua Wildlife Area up in the northeast side, which is certainly water quality, stream bank, habitat protection. There's a couple watershed projects. Part of the reason for that, Sharon, is that some of these water-related projects take more time. There's more planning that's needed up front. And some of the projects that you saw there, at least have gotten the visibility, were ones that are more ready to go. But in that first list to be funded, there are a number of water quality projects. In the end, when that bond plays out over 20 years, it's $50 million over 20 years, and I would say, again, it was supported by, as Charity said, 72% of the people, 166 of 177 precincts in Polk County supported that. So it had overwhelming support. But as those projects continue to play out, you'll see water quality even more of an issue as those projects come online. But it is very, very important to our citizens. And that message was very clear, not only in the Polk County initiative, but previous initiatives across the state. Citizens are really concerned about this and are willing to tax themselves to do that. And now we need even stronger partnership from the state and others.
Jan, did you want to weigh in on that as well?
I would just say that the Nature Conservancy, we definitely support these water quality initiatives, these public funding measures, and it is definitely something we need more public support for conservation efforts that fund both our public agencies and also work on private lands in the state.
And Jan, I mentioned I wanted to talk more about projects that the Nature Conservancy is doing. And we've talked about the Less Hills, and that's kind of a high-profile natural area in the state of Iowa. I know both the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, the Nature Conservancy, the DNR, everyone is working to make sure that this very special area of Iowa remains special. I want to talk about the work you're doing in the Boone River watershed, because that's not an area where a lot of people think, oh, that's so beautiful. Tell me about the Boone River watershed.
Yeah, so the Boone River watershed, it once boasted these vast expanses of wetlands, and those wetlands stored and slowly filtered water flowing into the river. You know, that's part of that natural process that results in cool, clean, fresh water and the healthy populations of unique fish, bird, and mussel species. You know, that water would flow into the Boone, and then the water continues on a journey that feeds into the Des Moines and Mississippi rivers before emptying into the Gulf of Mexico. But like much of the Midwest, many of the wetlands within the 500,000-acre watershed of the Boone has been drained and converted to farmland for corn, soybeans, and other crops. In fact, 84% of that watershed is now in farmland. And so for the Nature Conservancy, this is a very important area for us to work with farmers to find ways to keep the valuable soil and nutrients that on the land and on farm fields and out of our streams. So it's good for farmers because they don't want the expensive nitrogen leaving their land or their valuable topsoil. And it's also good for Iowans and the environment because our water is cleaner. It's safer for us to drink in, to swim in, to fish and eat the fish out of. And then we can have more diverse freshwater species as well, like our mussels and our fish species.
Can you tell me more about what physically you're doing?
Yeah. So we partner with several organizations in this area, including the Iowa Soybean Association, the Nature Conservancy, the Iowa Department of Ag and Land Stewardship, and the Natural Resources Conservation Service. And what we do is we work closely with the farmers on the ground to implement best management practices. So this could be anything from having the farmers install cover crops on their fields. The cover crops is very interesting because it's a practice that a farmer can do that gets at multiple benefits on the ground. Cover crops will decrease nitrogen and phosphorus loss. It increases soil health, decreases soil erosion, and increases soil water holding capacity. And we implemented over 4,000 acres of cover crops over the last few years.
What do you think the greatest challenge facing Iowa and Iowa's natural places is right now, Jan?
That's a very good question. I honestly would say lack of resources here in the state. Right now, Iowans, and we're seeing this across the country too, we're not investing, we're not understanding and realizing that natural resources really are the foundation of our economic and our livelihood. We are very low in the amount of public lands here we have in the state. The amount of public funding we receive for conservation is very low. And also in the private philanthropic world, you know, conservation receives less than 2% of all charitable dollars. So we need people to understand that having sustainable soils, having sustainable land management is better for our economic future and for the livelihood of people.
And what do you think, Mark? What would your response to that be?
Well, I would certainly agree with Jan to a large extent. We have a lot of landowners who are very interested in conservation, so we're very limited in our resources. And so we all need to target more tightly, which leaves some landowners out. And that's why we work broadly across all 99 counties and with our partners who have great projects themselves in addition to our own priorities. But, you know, conservation and recreation in Iowa is at least a $3 billion economic impact, and well over 30,000 jobs are affected. But yet we're investing less than 1% of our state budget in conservation. That's totally unacceptable. We've lost half of our topsoil. We have hundreds of impaired water bodies, and the only way we're going to correct those issues is making more investment. That means that landowners are going to have to step up even more. That means that our public and private agencies are going to have to work even more closely with landowners. But the way to do that is with the landowner at their table on their property to find the appropriate solution that works for them.
You mentioned 1% of the state budget. And I mentioned earlier in the show that only one other state in the union has less public land than Iowa. Of course, that's a long legacy. You know, we have been in that category for a very long time. How does Iowa's state investment in conservation compare to other states around the nation today?
It's very low, unfortunately, and we're near the bottom. In that. So when you measure where do we rank, you can measure that a lot of different ways. Is that total acres that we have in public ownership? Is it a percentage of total land? But we've always ranked near or at the bottom. But we also have this incredible system of county conservation boards out there, and some of our municipalities are also doing great conservation. And then let us not forget that big component, which is private landowners really doing good conservation on their property. So what we try to do is also not only restore but make that good conservation that's going on out there. Let's make that permanent so we don't have to keep reinvesting in land being put in a set-aside and then torn up and put back in crops and then back in set-aside. Let's make sure that it's permanently protected. We have some wonderful programs in Iowa. An example is the Resource Enhancement and Protection Program, affectionately known as REAP. was created in 1989 when current governor was governor then. He signed this bill. It's authorized at $20 million, frankly, and it's never been funded at its full level. Frankly, if we had funded that at $20 million a year as it was authorized, we would not have many of the problems that we have now. So we're great at making these commitments and authorizations, and we do very poorly at fulfilling them. And that's the reasons you see local citizens willing to tax themselves, because they're seeing how important this really is. So programs like that and trails, which are impacting everybody, this year they've been zeroed out of the budget. And that's how you get people outdoors. That's how we build a healthier community. That's how our economy grows. So we've got to invest in these things, like Jan is saying. And there's no shortcut here. There is no shortcut to conservation. It's long. You got to be in it for the long haul, and you've got to be willing to invest in it.
Mark, can you continue to stay with us?
Sure, I'd be glad to,
all
Charity.
Right. And Jan, can you stay as well?
Yes, I can.
Great. We're also going to welcome Bruce Ayersman from the Department of Natural Resources into the conversation in just a moment. I'm talking right now with Jan Glendenning. She is State Director of the Nature Conservancy in Iowa, and also Mark Ackleson. He's President of the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation. You are welcome to join the conversation as well. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today, we're talking about Iowa's wild places. And I've been talking with Jan Glendenning, State Director of the Nature Conservancy in Iowa, also Mark Ackleson, President of the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation. And now I want to include Bruce Ayersman in the conversation. He's a wildlife diversity biologist with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Charity.
Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you.
And let's talk a little bit about a project that you're working on right now, a proposal to establish a bird conservation area in a wildlife management area along the Sheridan River in southern Iowa. Tell me about this project.
Yeah, this one is I think, particularly interesting and exciting. This will actually be our 18th bird conservation area, you know, if we do establish it. But it will be at the Sedan Bottoms. So this is extreme southern Iowa along the Sheridan River. And basically a lot of the, I think there's at least 7,000 acres that have been protected, most of those through Wetland Reserve Program easements. And it has incredible bird diversity. It's one of the very best places in the state where you can see, especially during the summertime, a large proportion of Iowa's nesting birds.
And what makes it a bird conservation area? What would make it a bird conservation area?
Sure. This is a concept that started with an organization called Partners in Flight in conjunction, and Partners in Flight worked with Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources bird biologists, and they created this concept in the 1990s called bird conservation area. And the concept was to, you know, birds were declining at such a rapid rate, we're trying to figure out a way to slow this decline down. And when biologist researchers started looking really closely, a large percentage of the birds that are declining the most are area-sensitive species. And so by trying to create larger areas of habitat, big blocks of habitat, the original concept was at least 10,000 acres within this BCA, and then 20% of that area should be in one habitat block, in this case, grassland. And then by protecting that 2,000 acres in the center and then managing areas 100 acres or larger outside of that center, grassland areas for birds, then the theory was we should be able to start making a difference on productivity of birds. And it does, there's been quite a bit of research to show that this model for grassland birds really does work.
You know, the Department of Natural Resources has many responsibilities in Iowa, and I know always a tight budget as well. Can you describe for us the role of the DNR in protecting wild places beyond the public land that we have in Iowa?
Yes, we have, of course, our wildlife managers, technicians. We also have wildlife biologists that work, they're private lands biologists that work with private landowners trying to do a better managing our landscape for, you know, all species, essentially. So our role in the bird conservation area program is just kind of, we're kind of providing oversight, since obviously I'm a long ways from Sedan Bottoms. I'm stationed at the Boone Wildlife Research Station. So we try to provide oversight of these areas and try to work with different partners. So in this case, we'll be working strongly with Natural Resource Conservation Service. Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation is already a big player down here and so forth. So I think that's maybe that answers your question.
I think so. And you also, you have a public meeting coming up to talk about this particular plan, right?
Yes, the public meeting is going to be this Thursday night, and it's down close to Moravia, so essentially right below Red Rock Dam we'll have a public meeting and discuss. I'll present a program to talk about exactly what a bird conservation area is, why this particular area fits the model, and maybe some of the positive things that will come out of it.
All right. We have a lot of callers on the line who want to get in on this conversation. And, of course, with us still, Jan Glendenning from the Nature Conservancy and Mark Ackleson of the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation. And let's go first to Jerry on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Jerry.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just moved from Fort Collins, Colorado, to Des Moines a few months ago. And one of the things I've noticed is the smaller and reduced amount of wild places. And so I was just curious if your guests might be able to articulate their long-term vision for where a lot of their projects are headed. And let's say if resources weren't an issue, what is a lot of your projects and the access to these wild places in the long term, 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now look like?
All right. And thanks. Jerry, you know we're never going to have Rocky Mountains.
Oh, I absolutely know that. But, you know, we wouldn't want it to. Part of it is, you know, capturing that the essence of that local place that you happen to be in.
Well, and Mark, I think you were jumping in there.
Well, welcome, Jerry. It's good to have you here from Colorado. We always like people moving in. Good questions. Iowa is really a state of rivers. So if you look at where most of our natural areas remain, they're in our river systems. They're also in these big landscapes like the Lost Hills, where there have been 12 special landscapes identified by the National Park Service and the rest of us that have been working out there. So there are thousands of acres protected there now, and there's the core need is about 100,000 acres. We have about roughly 60% of that protected now, a lot of that in private ownership. So that's a big deal. We're working in the what we call Bluffs Country, kind of Mississippi River Bluffs, northeast Iowa, protecting and restoring trout streams and rivers, prairies, adding to state forests. So that's one of the – because we have such few places – the idea of building larger complexes is really important, and coming back around, because our landscape is so altered, in many ways the name of the game is restoration. So we got to protect those special wild places that we have, but we have to really restore what we've lost. Here in Polk County, if you want to see a great restoration project that really shows how partners can all work together, is the Chautauqua Wildlife Area, which is in the northeast part of the county. Which has now grown to over, it's about 8,000 acres and has the opportunity to expand. So these are lands that were repeatedly flooded. There was good wetlands, great prairie remnants there, some woodland, great bird viewing, cross-country skiing, hiking, all of those things. And that complex will continue to grow as we have other landowners who want to see their land protected as a part of that. So we're creating these places, and Jerry, I'm with you. Our landscape's a little more subtle than the Rocky Mountains. It takes smarter people in Iowa, and we have them.
All right, Jerry, thank you so much for your call. And Mark, you know, in Iowa, one of the things that I notice about the natural places is that often these are relatively small tracts of land, and it's difficult to get that feeling like you're lost in a natural area. You can usually hear a road or see a road. There aren't a lot of places where you can get completely lost in nature in Iowa. But it seems to me that that's not necessarily something that we're going to be able to create over the long term.
Well, I would actually take some issue with that. There are some great places where you can really get away. Some that come to mind, there are places in the Lost Hills that you can get down in a little valley, be surrounded by prairie, and not see another vehicle or hear anything or see any houses or whatever. We own some properties on the Upper Iowa River. They are very remote, incredibly beautiful. They're almost spiritual places in many ways. They certainly are to many of our supporters. The Sudan Bottoms that Bruce talked about, and we're pleased to have played a lead role in that early on by helping landowners get signed into some of these programs and then transferring some of it to public ownership. But again, you can get into pieces of that, and it's very wild in there, kind of a complex of wetlands and grass, restored grasslands. So that was an area of intensive agriculture. And if you were to go down there now and look, and Bruce can speak to the diversity there, there's a great example, as there is in Chautauqua Wildlife Area here in Polk County, of how restoration and protection go together, as well as management and working with adjacent landowners.
Marty is on the line next from Mason City. Hi, Marty.
Hi. I'm a hiker mostly, but also recently started hunting. And two things that I've noticed in Minnesota, there are protections and allowances for private landowners who allow public trails on their property. I know basically if you do anything wrong or get hurt, you're treated as a trespasser rather than on the insurance responsibility of the property owner. I was wondering, one, if there's anything like that in Iowa. And then the other question is, once I started hunting, I realized how much hunters pay and how much I had never paid as a hiker to add to the conservation that I use so much. And I was wondering if there is what other states use to kind of fund or surmount that problem. And my phone is going to die, so I'm probably going to lose you.
Okay, Marty. Well, we'll address that off the air then. So first, Mark, I'll go back to you with the trails question.
There is a recreational use statute in Iowa. We actually have one of the older ones that also does exactly as your caller said. So if you invite someone onto your property to hike or hunt and you're not charging a fee, you are given some immunity from liability. If a person's trespassing, that's a whole different thing. But certainly inviting people in. Iowa Natural Resources Foundation and the Nature Conservancy kind of depend on those statutes because we are inviting the public in. Being from Minnesota, as I believe your caller was comparing us to, one of the things Minnesota had is they do have a constitutionally protected fund. And it happened about the same time as Iowa's, by the way. So we also have a fund that was created, but it has not been funded yet. So we have a if that happens, it's called the Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund. Some of us call it Iowa's Water and Land Legacy, which says the next 0.375 of sales tax. So it has to be a sales tax increase. The next time there's an increase, the first 0.375 would go to conservation. That would right now produce about $125 million a year. That would plug these gaps, help our partners. It would be funds for local communities, counties, the state, and public or private partners and landowners to really step up. And the public really has supported this stuff. And we need to just keep moving forward to get these things funded. But we can accommodate. We need a dedicated source. And it needs to be more than hunting and fishing license fees. Your caller, again, was right. How the rest of us pay for this, many of us buy licenses, but we also buy equipment. Depending on the equipment, there's federal excise taxes that come back to the state as well. And we're all paying through our property taxes and other contributions. So we all need to be paying, and we really need to get this trust fund funded.
Bruce, would you like to weigh in on that as well? Again, of course, there are hunting and fishing licenses that people buy. There's not a hiking license.
No. And actually, one other thing I'd maybe add to that, I think the 2006 Fish and Wildlife Survey was the first time ever that there actually more income coming into Iowa from wildlife watchers than from hunters. Now, that isn't really going directly to conservation work, but that's coming into, you know, the economy. So it's kind of a change in the human dimensions of Iowa, I guess. We do have more urban people and so forth, but people are definitely looking for places to watch wildlife. So, yes, there's definitely a need, and we have not come up with a steady source of funding yet. And I could go into some of the history of that, but I probably shouldn't right now. But there has been a big effort at the national level and at the state level to come up with some way for basically non-consumptive users to pay a little bit more for the things that they enjoy, especially for watchable wildlife watching.
All right. And Susan's on the line next in Grinnell. Hi, Susan.
Hi there.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, I am also an immigrant into Iowa. We came from Texas and New Mexico, and we moved here 6-7 years ago, and we bought a little farm. It's just 100 acres without a house on it. And my husband has worked really hard on the CRP, putting in natural prairie, restoring prairie. And he spent the last couple summers taking care of his ponds, trying to get them out of all the algae and things that grow on them because it the runoff from the farm up above him. But my real concern here is in Poweshiek County, we have a proliferation of hog confinements coming from North Carolina because the environmentalists put them out of there. And the state, especially the Environmental Protection Committee, I think it is, or commission, has really, really supported more hog confinements and absolutely do not support any sort of conservation efforts on
well,
that
and, line. Susan, we are nearly out of time, so I'm going to let Jan respond to this. Jan, you were talking about the runoff from farm fields in Iowa. Is this another area where the Nature Conservancy is concerned about pollution with large confinement farming?
We haven't delved specifically into large confinement farming. I think generally what you're looking at, though, is how do we continue to have a vital economy as well as a healthy natural system and sustainable resources here in the state. And the Nature Conservancy and a lot of our work is really about finding the balance between both of those and making sure that that happens appropriately.
All right. And we are nearly out of time. And I don't know if I have enough time to ask each of you this question, but Jan, I'll start with you. Is there a goal that the Nature Conservancy has for Iowa? Is there something big out there that you're hoping you can make happen?
Yeah, I mean, we want to see those large landscapes that Mark talked about, that we talked about, but we also want to see, you know, we understand Iowa is a working land state, and we're not going to change that. So it's all about how are we using our natural resources here and still having those great quality of life places where we can recreate, where we can fish, where we can drink clean water, where we can swim, and really enjoy and improve the quality of life of Iowans.
All right. And I'll turn now to Mark with that same question. Is there an overarching goal for the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation?
Well, we continue to work with our partners to strengthen conservation capacity in Iowa. So we can't individually as organizations do this alone. So we have to help build a capacity in others, develop a stronger conservation ethic. We have a rich history in Iowa of conservation leadership. We need to continue that. We need to try to figure out these balances of trade-offs in land uses, whether they're urban or rural, that are damaging. But we need our waters cleaned up. We desperately need our streams cleaned up, and we need dedicated funding to conservation. And again, we should all take great pride in what these wonderful landowners across Iowa are doing individually to help us all.
All right. Mark Ackleson, president of the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation. Bruce Ehrsman, I'm sorry we are out of time, but thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Bruce Ehrsman of the Department of Natural Resources and Jan Glendenning, State Director of the Nature Conservancy in Iowa. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, and Sarah Bowden. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Caitlin Fry with technical support from John Pemble. You can send us email anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by the River Monks. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on the show, I'll talk with two Iowa writers, Fern Kupfer and Joseph Giha. This is Talk of Iowa.